The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Psalm 1, like many of the Psalms, many of the passages of Scripture that are familiar to us that maybe we have heard and considered at different times before. But I think it's a very appropriate today to look at this Psalm as we gather together. Before we do, let's pray again. Father, we do pray that as we come to you this morning, that you would remove the distractions from us, the concerns that we have, that you know that we deal with, the struggles that we have, that you see. May you receive the glory, and may we be able to think about you. May you come now. Forgive us of our hidden faults. Forgive us of those deliberate faults, those sins that we have against you. May we see Jesus Christ clearly in this passage today. In his name we pray. Amen. As you look at Psalm 1, you may know from other times, other commentaries, other sermons on this passage, that Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 have a special place in the whole of the Psalms. It doesn't appear to be an accident that these two very familiar Psalms are right at the beginning of what this collection of hymns at the beginning of it. They are an introduction to the next 150 Psalms. In some ways, they act like a spiritual gatekeeper to the rest of the book. In essence, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, in many ways, give us these two choices of how we are going to live our lives. Either we will live it on one hand for ourselves, or we will live it to follow God. Allow me to read this Psalm, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6, reading from the ESV. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." In this psalm, the psalmist gives us these two extremes and alternates between them. The good will go one way, the evil will go the other. Those who pursue God and his righteousness will go this way. Those who pursue their own evil desires will go the other way. I'd like to focus in on this and particularly focus on verse 2 and 3. This picture, this imagery that we're presented with of a tree, that this tree, the one who delights in the law of the Lord and the one who meditates on this law, this word of God day and night, is like a tree. Now there's three aspects as the psalmist unpacks this, three descriptions of this tree, of the one who follows God. First of all, there's this idea of this thirsting and delighting in God, this seeking after. You can imagine a tree. I remember a tree when I was growing up. We had a large section of woods behind our house, and we had the stream running through there. And I remember there was one particular tree that had its roots literally like this psalm, literally in the water. It was right on the bank. And as you look around that section of the woods, it was the largest tree. It was something that stood out. It was something that drew its nourishment from there, from the stream. It was what gave it life. Now, a tree can't be delighting, but certainly our hearts can be. This idea that the tree and plants and growth need the water, need the nourishment to grow, reminds us that we are dependent upon God's word, that we find our delight. We should thirst after God's word and what he tells us in Scripture. Any plant, naturally will be drawn to water. This thirsting, this desiring, any water, any moisture it can get. We had this happen in our own house, living in Germantown, of all places, in urban Philadelphia. I like to describe this as the urban modern-day equivalent of Psalm chapter 1, verse 4. And this thirsting and delighting, we had a tree. Actually, it started out in our house. We noticed that our main waste pipe was being backed up. And if you know of any plumbing problems, they're not fun. And we said, well, where'd this come from? Well, we got a plumber out. He looked at the plumbing. And what happened was, is that we had a tree in the front yard. And this huge tree that was flourishing and doing great, what had happened was, is that it had found moisture in this pipe. And it wasn't a metal pipe. It wasn't cast iron. It was actually the old terracotta or clay kind of pipe. And so it would give off some kind of moisture. And what this tree had done in its desire and pursuing of the water is that it had wrapped itself around its roots, wrapped around this pipe, and it basically burst the pipe so that our house was having plumbing problems. This gives an idea of the seeking after, the thirsting, the desiring that trees naturally have. And David, and the psalmist here, says that we will have the same kind of desiring and thirsting after God, that there's this delighting in the law of the Lord. It's seeking water. The second thing is, after this thirsting and desiring, is that there's this element of being firmly planted. We see here in this psalm that the righteous one, the one who pursues God, will be planted, this idea of stability, firm, immovable. Other scripture analogies speak of this, of these imageries of where God is called our rock and our fortress and our high tower that we are built upon. That the one who delights in him, says throughout scripture, will never be shaken. In the picture of a tree, even with the storms that we had last night and this morning, the tree will bend, the winds will come, the storms will come. But the one who delights in God spiritually will never be shaken because we are firmly planted and we desire and grow in him. The third description of this tree, this righteous one, is that there will be produce. The one will be productive. The threefold result is this, is that David says, the psalmist says in verse 3, that they will bear fruit. The leaf will not wither. And all that he does will prosper. This kind of threefold analysis of production and growing and the thirsting and delighting, the stability, will produce fruit. Now, this is things that we know, and we can contrast it with the evil one who does not pursue God, and nothing he does will prosper. But here's the real challenge for us. Here's the rub. These things sound like great things. I think we would all like to have them. After all, we would like to say that we are thirsting for God, that we are delighting in God's word every day, that we are very stable. We never doubt. We never question God. We never have fears or concerns and would like to say that, yes, we are being productive and bearing fruit. But the reality is that we also deal with our sinful hearts. That when we look at this psalm, we are comforted in the fact that there is this reality through Jesus Christ that he gives us this. But we also see the reality of our hearts as Scripture portrays elsewhere. For example, we talked about this thirsting and delighting after God and this tree that seeks moisture and plants that seek moisture, but yet we would admit that there are times in our life when we feel very dry. Or when we're thirsty, worse yet is that we are often satisfied with things that we think will satisfy, but that are not. We want to drink not of the living water, but of something else that we are attracted to. We are too easily satisfied with the wrong things. Jeremiah talks about this in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. This is what he says. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. So Jeremiah picks up on this issue of the heart that we all deal with. That we know that if we delight in God and in Jesus Christ and his word, that we will be filled with and satisfied with the streams of living water. And yet, like the people in the Old Testament, we have the same issues of the heart. We desire other things that we think will satisfy. Secondly, this idea of stability. We would like to be perhaps staid and immovable. You know, trees are immovable, right? They're planted. They're firmly established. This tree that I was talking about by the stream, it never got up and moved closer to the stream, or it never moved away from the stream. It was there. Well, you know, spiritually, we are mobile creatures. Our hearts are often desiring things. We sang in the hymn this morning that our hearts are prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Lord, I feel the need to leave the God I love. Take my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. You see, we are spiritually like, if you can use the analogy from The Lord of the Rings, the Ents. Remember Treebeard and the Ents? They were trees, but they could walk around. You know, that's kind of like what we are. We are to be firmly established, and yet we can walk. And we can pursue other things, not just physically, but we can pursue other things with the desires of our heart. These pursuing these broken cisterns, pursuing these other things that we think will satisfy our hearts, but we'll never do that. Which leads to the third thing, that this idea of being productive, of producing fruit, of having your leaves not wither, is that when we stop drinking the living water, when we see ourselves as being able to wander and pursue other things, then certainly our fruit will not be productive. We may produce fruit, but it won't be as good as it could be. You see, the solution is this for us this morning as we begin this year, that as this psalm is an entryway into the rest of the psalms that talk about true worship of the heart, that at the beginning of this semester to remind ourselves again to beware of the other distractions that could come into our hearts and our lives, and to draw ourselves again to be fed, to be nourished by these streams of living water. This is what John records in John chapter 7. That on the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and cried, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Well, this invitation of Jesus to all who thirst is even more appropriate to us now that Jesus has been glorified, now that the Spirit has been poured out on those who believe in him, that we've been given this living, abundant, nourishing, never-ending living water. It's a reminder to us today as we begin this semester to remember the words of Hebrews. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God," as we confess this morning. This is a reminder for us and something that we need to hear every day, to remember that while we may desire to be more firmly planted, to be more stable, to be seeking after God more and more, it comes by renewing our desire for Jesus Christ. And we know that he gives, when we pray things according to his will, to know him better, that he answers us. I would also invite you to come to the regular chapel times. On Monday, we have in room one the Monday morning devotions. On Tuesdays, we're going to be exploring some of these other agricultural themes in Scripture as they're applied to ministry. On Wednesdays, that will lead to Wednesdays, which are the fruit of the Spirit, looking at the different fruits of the Spirit as the faculty will come and share with us their thoughts on those. Growing these fruit from a well-cultivated heart. And then Thursday being prayer groups, and Friday being topical as the speaker will lead. But the reminder this morning is, as you start to get the reading lists today, as you look at the schedule for the next 3 months, as you look at the paper assignments, as you look at the quiz schedule, as you attend church, as you take care of your family, as you interact with others around you, to not forget this imagery of the tree and how it daily needs this nourishment as it seeks it, to drink deeply of Jesus, that you may delight in him, that you remember that we are firmly planted in him, And that he, when we do this, he allows us to bear his fruit, fruit that will last and fruit that will glorify him. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us to remember these things in the days and the months ahead? Even today, as we look forward to this weekend and the busyness that will happen, the busyness of the next few weeks, the next few months, let us delight in you. Let us see ourselves as these spiritual trees, firmly established, bearing your fruit as we delight in you. Holy Spirit, come, turn our hearts towards you. May you glorify Jesus in our hearts. In his name we pray. Amen. Go in peace. Could do a little post.